I got a radio program on.
Okay, that's Suzette.
Yes, I'm Suzette.
Suzette Kilo of Kilo versus New London, Connecticut.
Yes, ma'am.
And that's how people will recognize you. You're a nurse who had to hack her way to the front door to enter her house for the first time. So obviously you worked real hard on that place. And then they turned around and said they were going to condemn it and take it away from you, huh?
Correct.
So you took the problem all the way to the Supreme Court of the country, huh?
Yes, ma'am, I did.
Boy, I got a lot of respect for you, and I got two of your friends here in the studio, too.
Hi, Suzette.
Hi.
How you doing?
Good. Doing good.
Hi, Suzette.
Jen and
Hi, Rich
Karpinski.
Can you hear them okay, Suzette?
Yeah, almost sort of, kind of.
Almost too
I'll
much.
I'll have to yell.
No, I said almost sort of, kind
of. Oh, okay. So it's soft, it's low?
It's soft.
Ah.
Boy,
because we're putting out everybody's ears in the,
Suzette,
the rest of radio land.
Can you hear me? Suzette?
Okay. That doesn't work like that anymore. You have to use the regular
Suzette?
Mic.
Suzette? Hello?
Hello?
Can you hear me, Suzette?
Just barely.
Just barely.
Okay. Oh, that's Rich. Okay. Well, Suzette, why don't you tell us, give us an idea of how you felt after the decision came down and what your options are now.
Well, geez, when the decision came down, we were, you know, obviously totally disappointed and couldn't believe that the United States Supreme Court had ruled against us as homeowners and against every American citizen in this country, really. I think I was just in total shock for days.
Uh-huh.
And, but after the initial impact, and within hours, and then certainly within 24 hours of the decision, the public outcry was just astronomical. It truly was, and it really has given me and my neighbors here renewed strength to continue to walk.
Right. Well, you know, I have a question.
Battle, or what you want to call it.
What was that? Strength for the battle? Is that what you're saying? She can't hear me over this mic, can she?
Hello?
Suzette, can you hear me?
I can't hear you any longer.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me, Suzette?
No, if she can't hear me, she's not going to be able to hear you.
Yeah.
Okay, are we back on now?
Yeah, I'm here, so just so you know.
Okay, can you hear me?
Hi, Suzette. It's Jonna. Can you hear me?
Yeah, that's
Oh, good. Technical difficulties. See, Maureen's mic went down and mine went up. Go figure.
Isn't that fun? Suzette, I apologize for the technical difficulties here. One of the regular people and underwriters of this show, a lawyer in town, in fact, had a question for you. He wanted to know, given the way the vote went on the Supreme Court, would you support President Bush if he nominates an originalist, which, in other words, would be somebody who would kind of analyze how they think the originators of the Constitution would vote today and be a little flexible and creative? Or would you support a strict constructionist?
I think
who would stick to the original Constitution.
Which one would stick to the original Constitution? The second one?
The second one, right.
I think if I had the second one, I might have a better shot, I think. But, you know, I'm not a politically
That's how he feels as well, uh-huh. that they really went against the Constitution. That was his. But he was very interested in getting that from you. He's also going to ask, we're going to get a call in from the gubernatorial nominee for the Republican Party for New Jersey for the governor's job. That's Doug Forrester.
Uh-huh.
And we're going to be posing the same question to him. So are you going to get more political or less political? Are you going to take this thing on the road or?
I'm not really sure I need to become political because right now the outcry is from everybody.
certainly seems that way.
The Democrat, Republican, everybody. It's not, you know, this party or that party. Everybody is, I shouldn't say everybody, but probably 95% of the population is infuriated by what's happened here.
Yeah, Suzette, can you hear me? This is Maura Martello. I'm Maureen's sidekick.
Sure.
It seems almost overnight when the Supreme Court decision came down, you absolutely had politicians from both sides of the aisle just stumbling over themselves to try to get legislation out there to prevent eminent domain. I mean, I never saw anything like it.
Correct. I'll agree with that. It was amazing.
And why was that? I wonder why the Supreme Court obviously was so out of touch.
Well,
yeah. I mean, that's a good question.
And this is the only reason I think this is because I've had some time to mull it over and see what's happened here. The Supreme Court, I think, did this so the states would take care of the laws themselves. Maybe the United States Supreme Court didn't visualize the states going after people's properties, you know, whether they're, you know, they're not in touch or they're too cloistered or whatever the situation is. But I think they were trying to force each state in itself to change their eminent domain laws.
Well, then, how did you feel when this this recent attempt in Connecticut was defeated by the Democrats?
Well, I don't feel really very good about it, but I think that when they called the emergency legislative session and they're working on having a moratorium, I think, you know, at this point I stand a chance. You know, I think the representatives see which way the wind's blowing, I guess you could say.
Yeah. Well, it's a real strange thing because we're used to the Republicans as being the ones who are on the side of big business and big bucks, and the Democrats being the ones for the little guy, right? It's just so turned around.
I have a mini theory on that, which you can shoot down immediately.
All right. Maura's got a theory.
You know, in the old socialist system where the left arises from, the idea of private property was always a negative. In other words, if we pooled all our resources, including property, we would have less problems. Now, I'm not sure that influenced Ginsburg or any of the people on the court. Mm-hmm. But I'm just saying there is that socialist idea that's the core of, you know, the new left. You know, that private property is not a good thing.
It's just so hard to look at Charlie Kushner and imagine him as a real radical lefty.
I was just thinking of the politicians. You yourself said that the Democrats are sticking up for the...
But it just doesn't work, though. You know, the rationalizations, like, you know, the one I've heard, you know, something similar to the one that you just voiced, but it just... And Rich has an opinion?
Well, Charlie Kushner doesn't think like a socialist.
Well, of course not. You know, so all these developers and builders who are sending the money to the Democrats.
Yeah.
Come on.
But of course, they'll befriend any socialist that they can.
Yeah.
As pure capitalists.
never met a socialist they didn't want.
Suzette, can you hear me?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, great. Listen, since the decision, there's been a groundswell of support for property owners like yourself and everybody else who has property threatened. What is the general feeling, your neighbors, the town, the people around you? Let everybody know, when you're on the street, is everybody, how supportive is everybody towards you?
Well, I think we're getting a lot, you know, of support now. I mean, of course, we still have the city council who's still refusing to budge from their plan of putting a development here.
Except for the city council.
And what's the political makeup of the city council?
Democrat. There's one Republican. Oh, maybe two now. Just two now, yeah.
You see a pattern here?
Is it a 5-member council, Suzette?
Seven.
Seven, okay.
Are they staggered, or... Are they voted in?
There's only been one in That's 7 years that's voted on for us.
Are the terms staggered, or are they all voted in at once?
No, they're all voted in at once.
That's what we have here, too.
And when's the next election?
When's the next vote, right?
Very soon, in November, as a matter of fact.
Oh, really? So what are the opponents saying? Are they kind of getting on the bandwagon to support
you? Well, we don't have any opponents as of yet, because these people have been running the city for... a long, long time.
Entrenched.
We're working on it, though.
yeah, I bet you are.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a real strong political football.
Maybe you should run for office.
Yeah.
There's an idea.
Well, yeah, everybody wants me to run for office, but I don't know. I don't know if I'm quite up to that. I'm really not, as I said, I'm really not politically smart.
Nor are they.
Yeah. Very true statement. They're dumber than bricks. I gotta say that.
So you have been approached, though, huh?
Oh, absolutely, yes. Yes, because, you know, we really need to get some people in. I mean, I've talked to a couple people, and, you know, to try to, you know, get some people in. Of course, you know, nobody, you know, it's hard. Nobody wants to do it, you know. So
yeah, somebody's got to take up the cause.
Right. Somebody's got to take up the cause. I think I've collected 3 people, and I wanted to get 4. Actually, I'd like to get 4 Democrats and 4 Republicans and just... I don't think I can do that.
Jonna?
Suzette, what is the Institute for Justice saying at this point that they are going to try to get the U.S. Supreme Court to review the case again?
Well, they did file for a reconsideration on Monday. Of course, they say our chances of 4 or even getting it heard, let alone overturned or reconsidered. And... right now, he's working with the governor. He was here yesterday and met with the governor's chief aide, and he's coming back next week to meet with the governor and some and the legislative people and see what he can do that way.
Good. That's Scott Bullock.
Yeah.
Now this governor is an interim governor, right?
John had a little problem, had to go to jail.
Yeah, he's in jail.
Yeah.
Was that connected to developers?
Sounds like Monmouth County.
This was his baby. This was his plan. This was he's the one that shoved the money down the city's throat. He's the one that said, go get him.
Ring a bell here in Asbury.
And now, what were his sins? Why did he get carted off?
For unethical conduct, you know, just, you know, money.
Accepting money from developers?
Accepting money, no bid contracts, you know.
He had a nice vacation home, I think, right?
He did have a nice vacation
home. Yeah. That might be one of the only reasons I could see eminent domain being used is to build a prison on my properties who has all these corrupt elected officials.
I'll go for that. Maybe I'll use that.
Well, that's public use.
Yeah, that's right.
I might use that line.
Now I hear that this current governor though is more sympathetic to your cause.
She appears to be.
This is a good thing.
She's been really criticized by the editorial staff or the newspaper for siding with us. She's been, you know, and the NLDC, who's the development corporation who's trying to take the property, really slapped her around pretty bad over the weekend.
Really?
Saying, you know, that she had no business coming down here and getting involved with this. So she knew this was happening when Governor Rowland was here. You know, whether any of that is true or not, I don't know. But the thing to remember is Governor Rowland is now gone, and she is running the city, and she appears to be illegal. So,
good. You know,
appears to be really good. You know, righteous and true. But we'll see.
Yeah, right.
So, Suzette, what's left for you and the others as far as the appeals and how can the rest of us help you?
Well, really, I guess the way to help is to write letters, obviously. Write letters to the newspaper, write letters to the governor, you know, the representatives, and try to, have them. They have filed the moratorium, but I guess now they're deciding whether or not they're going to include us in the moratorium and to make it retroactive. You know, that we can stay.
Right.
And are they looking at months or a year or multiple years? They're not saying?
Nobody's saying at all. But, you know, one of the other things I'd like to say, you know, really just so the public will know, especially down where you folks are, we're not against the development. We never tried to stop the development.
Yeah, see?
Our houses take up over a little over an acre and a quarter. There's 90 acres here. There's more than enough land for them to build whatever they want to build. They simply don't want us here.
Just get you out.
The greed exceeds the need.
Yeah.
And are they going for the very expensive homes that they want to build there?
Well, they do want to put in 80. They do want to put in 80 housing units here, and.
And what prices would they be in? What range is that?
From what I understand, like me, regular income property.
That's what they're saying?
That's what they're saying.
Because in our situation, we're looking at $700,000 condominiums.
Yeah, but Maureen, remember in the beginning they said it was going to be $200,000.
$250,000. It was going to be $250,000. Remember that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well,
see, so actually the plan first was submitted a couple weeks ago, right after the decision, where they were going to put in 80 low-income housing units. Mm-hmm. And the city councilors about fell off their stool.
Oh, really?
And then they said, well, okay. Well, you know, New London is really full of nothing but low-income housing, though. I mean, that's really all it's had, because it tore everything down, and that's the only thing they built.
But these would be the homes for the Pfizer, people working at Pfizer?
Oh, no.
Is that
nobody,
the idea?
Nobody who works at Pfizer lives in New London.
Nobody
lives here. No, they all live, you know, in Old Lyme or Lyme or East Lyme or...
They're only going to stay at that hotel they're building and use the health club facility, right?
Well, that's what they say, but now they're denying that and say they no longer have a need for a hotel. And now the hotel is no longer a hotel. It's called the Fort Trumbull Inn, or the Inn at Fort Trumbull. And it's gone, you know, it's only got like 80 beds or something.
That's
it's
a
really
crime.
Downsized from like 600 to 880 or something, or 400 to 80.
It's unbelievable, isn't it?
Oh yeah, so it's really all a crock of crap. And like I said, there's more than enough land for them to build whatever they want to build. We never said we didn't want them to build the development. As a matter of fact, we said we want you to build the development.
Yeah,
build it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. And which is we're getting the same thing. It seems like it's an easy way to discredit you, because if they say to people, "Oh, well, they're just against redevelopment," then people go away. They forget about the whole argument. They don't want to know anymore.
Right, right. And I think certainly our newspaper, who's done absolutely nothing for us, as a matter of fact, I had quite an argument today with one of the newspaper reporters, because now they're trying to sling mud. They're trying to say, "Oh, well, Matt Derry's doesn't live there because his house is in his mother's name," or somebody, you know, and they're really trying to sling mud now. And it's just
research.
Again, the discrediting.
Yeah, well, they can discredit all they want.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure they can try to, I guess.
Now,
we're all here. So.
Now, Suzette, isn't it true that they did not even have a plan for your...
Oh, absolutely. They have no plan. You know, they thought maybe like a parking lot or something.
Or
but
something.
Really,
it sounds like the Jersey Apartments.
Yeah, no plan at all. No plan whatsoever for my block.
Oh, God. Well, we wish you a lot of luck. Anybody else have anything?
Yeah, we'll be fighting behind you, Suzette.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And you think that the letter writing, even more so than
letters,
the demonstrations?
Yeah, the letters, you know, to The Day, which is a newspaper, you know, anybody can check it. It's
theday.com. Theday.com, okay.
And the letters to the editor, and of course, you know, letters to the governor, and then the legislature. I'm sorry.
And the governor's name again is?
Rell, R-E-L-L, Jody Rell.
Jody, all right. Well, we'll do it. We'll get everybody on it.
Absolutely,
well,
Suzette.
Thank you very much.
We're behind you.
Suzette, you're doing this for all of us, you know.
That's right.
Now,
That's right.
Suzette, I just want to make one quick comment.
Yeah.
Now, you're a nurse. You help people out every day.
Yeah.
It's a travesty. It's criminal what the government's doing. It's really a shame.
Suzette, do you want to share what you shared with me down in Washington about, you know, people when they die?
Oh, I want to hear this.
Come
now.
On.
Well, I was telling Jonna that, because I'm a nurse, and now before I was a nurse, I was a paramedic. And, you know, some people slip to the other side quite gracefully, and other people fight. You know, to nail not to go.
Mm-hmm.
And I was telling her it's all because of where they're going.
Ah!
There's a shovel and coal waiting for a lot of people.
That's right. Well, we know where those builders are going.
Not all of them, but... Yeah.
Not all of them. Some of them are good.
It's more the, you know, here it's more the city council, you know? I mean, they're just so corrupt.
Crooked politicians.
You know, the politics in this city, it's been corrupt for 70 years, and it's just amazing that they continue to get away with it.
Well, I give you a lot of credit for staying and digging in your heels and fighting it.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. As Rich said, you're doing it for all of us.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Great, Suzette. Thank you so much for calling in.
Thanks, Suzette.
Thanks, Suzette.
My pleasure.
Keep us informed, okay?
I will.
You know, call in it from time to time and let us know what's going on.
Okay.
Thanks, Suzette.
Thanks very much.
Thanks. Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
Suzette Kilo, just a regular regular person,
she
huh?
She is just a phenomenal human being. She really is.
And I saw her picture on the internet, tiny little thing.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Petite.
But she's a fighter.
She's a fighter.
And that's tough. That is tough.
You know, I always have to throw in those literary references. You know, New London is the home of Eugene O'Neill. You know, all of his plays are set in...
Sorry, can you repeat that more?
Oh. Sorry about that. No, I was bringing my literary interest again. New London's the home of Eugene O'Neill, who wrote all his plays based on New London. Moon for the Misbegotten takes place there. Long Day's Journey into Night. In fact, his family's cottage is still there. It's a museum, and I hope that's not in trouble.
Well, Suzette's home is actually an old Victorian home. I'm not quite sure the age, but I believe it's around the turn of the last
century.
Is
it on the river?
Yes, it's on the river.
It's on the river.
So is O'Neill's cottage.
Yeah.
Yes.
And all of her neighbors. Yeah. There were 80 homes in that development, and now I believe there's only 11 left.
Yeah, I saw that on the net, only 11.
And it's an interesting theme, too, throughout the country with the eminent domain abuse, how waterfront property seems to be always involved.
Yeah, that always water view. That splashes up. That's what makes you vulnerable. Good evening and welcome to Restore Radio. You're on the air.
Hi, it's Michael Panther. How are you?
Oh, hi, Michael. Very good. You're right on time.
Very punctual.
That's swell. And Maura talked to you today. Maura's in the studio right here.
Well, I talked to your lovely—I guess she's your press person, or
I think it was our chief of staff, Carrie Danskin.
Yeah, she's great.
She's terrific.
Yeah, okay. Say hi to her.
I sure will.
And you and Robert Morgan have drafted an assembly bill, correct?
We have. In fact, we just filed about 2 days after the decision by the Supreme Court the bill to essentially overturn that and ban the use of eminent domain in terms of taking private homes. In order to turn it over to private developers in New Jersey. So that bill is pending in both the Assembly and Senate at this point.
And that's 4392.
Assembly Bill 4392.
Right. And is here we've got in front of us, we've got the Senate bill, which is the companion bill to that?
It is. In fact, we have our bill filed in the Assembly, and it's a bit rare when you have identical bills filed in both houses, but I think increases our chances of moving them both ahead.
Oh, so they are identical. I was going to ask you if there are changes, huh?
Now I know why it was it was a blank screen when I when I went to look up your bill, because it's identical to the Senate's. It didn't make it clear on the internet site, but I was wondering.
Yeah, it can be a little confusing, but we did that for a reason, because if you don't have them identical and each house passes its own version, you know, there can be a considerable delay while they try to.
Yeah, they could debate forever, right?
That's right. Mm-hmm.
So could you give us just some of the key points then?
Yeah, I'd love to give you a few of the key points. And forgive me, I didn't hear everything that was discussed previously.
Yeah, well, we were on. Are you there?
I am.
Yeah, we were actually on the line with Suzette Kilo, who called in from New London.
You know, I heard the tail end of that. Certainly she knows, I'm sure, more about this topic than she cares to at this point.
Yeah, I would imagine, mm-hmm. Yes, yeah. I think, are we being joined with another caller? Yeah.
Hi, Maureen.
Hi, who's that?
It's Tommy DeSanto. How are you?
Oh, hiya, Tommy. Are you calling in from Long Beach Island?
Yes, I am.
and Michael Panther is on the line. He was just about to tell us about his bill, his assembly bill.
I'll yield to the assemblyman. Go ahead.
Well, thank you. I'll be brief. You know, I was going to mention, it's interesting when eminent domain came up as a topic this year, because when I was in law school, I had the good fortune of having a professor named Lawrence Tribe.
Kind of widely considered. He's been all over TV recently with the John Roberts nomination.
Yeah, and he's kind of one of the more preeminent constitutional law scholars in the country. And just by coincidence, when you're a law student, you know, Professor Tribe would tell you when you expect to be on panel and get questions in class that day. And I had to really prepare when my day and my turn came about. And eminent domain was the subject, because he spent a considerable amount of time on that. And I remember at the time that they were just starting to use eminent domain for purposes that didn't really seem to be truly in the public use at that time in 93, 94.
Mm-hmm.
And he had said at that time that he thought this was a very problematic development and that it would likely come to a head in the Supreme Court.
Huh.
I just didn't think it would take, you know, 8 years for that or 10 years even for that to come about.
And which way did he think that ruling was going to go?
You know, I don't know if he's argued eminent domain before the Supreme Court, but I think he certainly had the opinion that the Fifth Amendment, you know, is very clear when you read it. It's for public use in terms of taking private property. And I think that everyone, it really shocks the conscience when people consider that your home can be taken to give to private developers under the name of public use simply because, you know, it would create job opportunities or increase tax ratables. I think in a very real sense, and I don't use this term loosely, that's truly un-American.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are many countries that our ancestors fled from, you know, to avoid that type of heavy-handed government action. So it's incredible that it's happening here in our backyard.
And I should say, because we were picking on the Democrats, I should say that you're both Democrats that drafted this bill.
We are, although I should say that we have Republican co-sponsors now in both the Senate and Assembly, which is very promising.
It's definitely, well, that's good.
It's definitely going across both party lines.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that.
Even the Green Party is getting involved.
Which is great. Which is great. So it would actually seek to overturn the Supreme Court decision?
Yeah, what would it essentially do? You know, the Supreme Court's decision means that the type of use, the type of eminent domain that we see in Long Branch and other areas is now permitted, but the states can go above that level and put, you know, increased protections for homeowners in place. So,
yeah.
You know, and there's been a string of cases throughout the country, and Connecticut was just one of many. And we want to make sure that if there's a family-owned business, or more importantly, a family-owned home, that use of eminent domain will not be permissible in New Jersey. There are instances when it's certainly advantageous if it's truly for public use, but I think those should be true emergencies. In a very true sense of that word.
Well, certainly it's now a matter of what's going to bring in the most revenue for the city. So.
Yeah, and I think I've spoken with a number of local officials about that, and I know that many of them are trying to make decisions that are best for their towns. And I would say that, you know, there are many towns. Red Bank is one of them, which has been improved through the years without the heavy-handed use of eminent domain. So it's certainly possible.
Oh, that's interesting.
And it has been, yes.
It has. It's possible to let the market do that. And I think that, you know, the one hurdle we face, and I just wanted to mention this, is, you know, from a timing perspective, the legislature is out of session in New Jersey right now. And we don't reconvene until the fall. So I think timing is certainly an issue for folks in Long Branch or elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing that I mentioned to folks today, and I'm not sure if anybody else mentioned it on your show, is that 1 in 5 legislators in the state of New Jersey are also local officials, either mayors or council members.
Huh. I didn't know that figure.
Yeah, it's interesting because when I think about that, it makes me wonder whether any of them might perceive this, by voting for this, as taking away one of the rights they have as local officials.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that'll create a very interesting debate, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well,
the station you are listening to is WYGG 88.1 FM, Asbury Park.
Sorry about that. That's our station identifier. Okay. Can you guys hold on, and we'll just thank our underwriters. We'll come right back.
No problem.
Thank you for holding on.
Thanks very much.
I want to oil your hinges, calibrate
speak up, it's America.
Your clocks.
Let's speak up. It's America.
Yeah, we forgot to tell you that this show is all about speaking up, but maybe you figured it out. Speak up, it's America. We kind of stepped on our own theme tonight. We want to thank a new sponsor tonight, new underwriter, rather, Anninson's. Looking to remodel your kitchen or bath with exclusive high-end custom cabinetry? Then visit Anninson's, a 54-year-old family business at 52 Main Avenue in Ocean Grove. Or call them at call Anninson's at 776-6927. That's Anninson's, AANNENSEN. Anninson's in Ocean Grove on Main Ave. And that's my friend Gail Anninson. Isn't that nice of her to underwrite the show? And Jersey Urban Renewal wants you to see its plans for the Jersey Apartments, Jersey Court. Jersey Urban wants the Jersey to be the second redevelopment project in Asbury Park under the new redevelopment plan. The owners of the Jersey are struggling to save this historic building from demolition. Under eminent domain, in fact. JerseyCondominiums.com to see what their plans are. And if you want to talk directly to Rich DiPietro, 732-223-6706. We'll put you in touch with him. 223-6706 for Rich DiPietro in the Jersey Apartments. And Dr. Gina Buono to Health and Back, a chiropractor who has produced excellent results for me. Dr. Gina is in the heart of Asbury Park at 710 Cookman Avenue. I believe she takes care of dancers from the cast of the Broadway musical Chicago, as well as many famous actors and musicians and a few writers even. Feel free to call if you are calling in and give us your experience if you're a patient of Dr. Gina's. And give us your testimonial. Dr. Gina can be reached at 732-604-4852. That's 732-604-4852 for Dr. Gina Buono to Health and Back. The hardware store in Asbury Park for sheetrock, lumber, plywood, and the inventory keeps growing. Go to 428 Main Street or give the hardware store a call at 732-988-3339. 988-3339 for the hardware store, U-Hauls and tools you can rent and all that jazz. The firm of Bowen for Nicola LLC in Red Bank, who specialize in this subject, eminent domain, condemnation and redevelopment law, call Paul for Nicola at 345-0600. That's 732-345-0600. If you do frequent these underwriters, please tell them that Restore sent you. Thanks very much. Right.
Your locks. I want to oil your hinges, calibrate your clocks.